that's really it. We were quite lucky with that one.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am hereby calling this public hearing of the Mariposa County Planning Commission to order for June 21st. I would like to begin by asking Commissioner Harter to lead us in the flag salute. This time, it's slightly unusual, but I would like to take this opportunity to offer my personal and I hope our group appreciation for all of the first responders who came not only from Mariposa County, but all those who came from beyond our borders, our law enforcement officials, our firefighting officials, all of those volunteers who helped make our recent little flirt with disaster so easy to bear ultimately. They, as they always do, are in the position of putting their lives on the line to save and to help our property, and I cannot tell you how much we all appreciate what they did, certainly this last time around, our great appreciation. Minutes approval. Gentlemen, the minutes of June 7th. Does anyone have any additions, corrections? Not a thing from me either. In that case, I'd be willing to entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes.
I have to think very carefully because
I wasn't here.
You weren't here, yeah. So you may not be able to make that motion. I'm sorry.
Isn't that unfortunate? He still reads. I'll make that motion then.
That's debatable. Reads, yes. Comprehension, well. And so am I hearing a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second? We have a motion and a second to accept. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, with one abstention due to absence. The minutes are accepted as submitted. 3. Public address. At this point, let me explain a little bit about our public procedures. At the back of the room, you will find a table with today's agenda, supporting documentation. And at this point in our usual hearing, if there are any of the members of the public here who would like to speak to this body on any issue of relevance to this body which is not on today's agenda, this is your opportunity. And if you do come up, you are not legally required to sign in, but it is very, very helpful to us if you could state your name clearly into the microphone and sign for us, just so we'll have your name for the record if we need it. And seeing no mad dash to the microphone, I'm going to close that portion. I will explain the way our usual procedure works. When we have our public hearings on projects, I will turn each issue over to our staff. The staff will offer the staff report. At that point, when the staff report has been fully offered, this board may ask brief questions for elucidation, simply to make sure that we get it completely. And at that point, I will then open the public comment period on that project. At that point, you are more than welcome to come up and have your say. And at that point, I will close the public comment hearing. We'll bring it back to this body for deliberation and any potential action. And that's kind of the way it works. And with that, I would like to turn it over to Alvaro with our very first item, the amended conditions number 2013-078, Cathays Valley Baptist Church.
All right, thank you. Like you mentioned, there's an amended conditions application for the Cathays Valley Baptist Church. There are no changes to the staff report. The project is located at 4565 Cornets Entrance Road in Cathays Valley and is also known as APN 016-270-013. The request is to amend the conditions of approval and site plan for conditional use permit number 257, which was originally approved in 1998. The request that conditions of approval number 1, 6, and 15 be modified. The project was originally approved for a church along with two educational buildings. The amended site plan is requested because the project was only given 3 years to fully implement the project and only the church was constructed. The amended conditions would allow for a slight increase in hours of operation for the church, allow flexibility and time required to replace dead or diseased landscaping, and will allow more time to fully implement the project. Also, based on the health department comments regarding the use of portable restrooms, an additional conditional approval is recommended, requiring written permission from the health department for the use of portable restrooms. There was the original conditions of approval. I believe it was packet page. Beginning on packet page 30, that's where the original conditions of approval are located. Up here, I just have the conditions of approval with the requested changes. The first change is the hours of operation on Sunday. Originally, it was approved from 6 a.m. to 12 noon. The requested change is from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. And for Wednesdays, the allowed hours were 7 to 8 p.m. The requested change is 6 to 8 p.m. With regards to condition number 6, the original condition approval required the immediate replacement of dead or diseased plants. The modification would change it for the plants to be replaced as soon as possible and no later than 6 months from the time the plant died. And this is just to reflect different growing seasons. Summer sometimes isn't the best time to replant a plant. So. And then for condition number 15, originally the project was only allowed 3 years. The requested change would give 15 years from the date of plan commission approval of the amended conditions today. And finally, the additional condition of approval is that there's written permission required from the health department for the use of portable restrooms. This is just a project vicinity map. Here's Old Highway and Cornets Entrance Road. And here's an aerial view of how the site is currently developed. As you can see, the church, some parking is what's currently out there, a mobile home. This is the original approved site plan for CUP 257. Approved were the church and two educational buildings. And basically within the 3 years they were allotted, they were able to build a church. However, they ran out of time to build the additional structures. So the proposed amended site plan, slight modification from the original design, but pretty close in size. This is the existing church. Here's the proposed fellowship hall, educational rooms here, and an attached kitchen. With regards to environmental review, the application relies on the mitigated neg deck that was originally adopted by the Planning Commission in 1998. And in conclusion, staff would recommend that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution with findings approving the request for amended conditions and site plan.
Thank you very much, Al. Gentlemen, do you have any questions for Al?
I do. So the original permit, it wasn't clear how many of the original conditions were part of the first building of the church, and have they been met, or are they just incorporated into the...
The original conditions are where they begin, packet page 30. All those were applied, and as far as staff is aware, they're in compliance with all of them. The reason for the amended conditions and the main drive of this application was that they ran out of time to construct the other structures, which were originally approved with the site plan, and they took the opportunity to modify some of the hours of operation at this time.
Okay, so things like getting the water system permitted, those things have been done?
Yes, but all those conditions will continue to be applicable to the project in the future, so they must comply with them forever.
Okay. All right, thanks.
One other thing that I might mention is that the county code typically gives an applicant for a conditional use permit or any other type of permit 3 years to complete the project conditions, get their permit, build their project, with the ability to apply for a 1.5-year time extension. The code also gives an applicant an ability to ask for more time to build their project if they ask for that time when they come to the Planning Commission for the original approval. That was not done as part of the original approval. That additional time is being sought today. That's why there's a different time approval sought with this. They recognize it'll take more than 3 years this go around to build the full project.
Right, thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much for that. Al, I think it's very clear from reading the conditions. To me, I just wanted to make absolutely positively clear that the conditions for lighting will fall under the dark sky standards, and I know that's pretty important out there where things are pretty bare and spread out.
The existing condition for lighting requires that all exterior lighting fixtures be of a hooded type. And designed so that the light is only directed on the property. For any lighting, they're supposed to submit a lighting plan to the planning department prior to installing them. And I think that would essentially meet the same requirements of dark sky standards.
And that goes along the lines also with another question that I had about it, but I think I'm fairly clear on it. As we are seeing on the rendering on staff report page 25, the eventual structures that are hoped to be added to this are contiguous with it. You know, the existing church, and then contiguous structures would be built. And I know that when the permits are applied for, then that may or may not have to be altered, depending upon how it can be worked out. I think that eliminates the rest of my questions for you. Anything else, gents? Commissioner Harder.
Yes, I have comment. On page 34, the resolution number is 2013 blank. Is that 078 on the beginning of the page?
Packet page 34, resolution number. That's blank, and we usually apply it after approval. We'll apply a resolution number. It's slightly different than the application number.
Okay. And the other question I have is on the issuing of building permits. During this period of extension, they would be subject to current building code and also subject to time restraints as set by the building permit.
That is correct.
Okay, if there are no further questions, at this point I would like to open this hearing up for public comment. If anyone here has anything to share with us, this is your opportunity. Feel free to come up and tell us. Good morning.
On behalf of Kathy Valley Baptist Church, I'm Pastor Ken Trujillo. I want to thank the commission and the planning department for all the hard work they've done and working with us to get this fulfilled. And just to reiterate, we are a country church, and our hope is to keep the country atmosphere. Our architectural standards are basically that of a country atmosphere, and it's going to look just like the church. If you haven't had an opportunity to come see it, welcome to drive down there off of Cornet's entrance and look at it. It's a white church with a steeple, old-fashioned country church, and that's what we like to keep it that way, and we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Trujillo. Anyone have any questions? Oh, okay. Commissioner Harris.
Just a side one. So your capital plan for this build-out is looking pretty good, is it, Ken?
What's that?
Your capital plan for build-out is looking pretty good?
Yes, it is. That's why we're getting going.
Good.
Lord's provide the money to get started, and we want to get moving on it. Our first one will start, hopefully, as soon as we get our permits done, will be our fellowship hall. So
great.
Get something out there we can meet and community can use, and we can have a good time with it.
Yeah, I saw a lot of you're already doing a lot of that at the site already, from what I read in the packet, community use of the site.
Yeah, we've done great. You guys, it's been a blessing to the community and to us. It's been a lot of fun. So thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Would anybody else have anything you'd like to share with us? And it appears no one else has anything to tell us this morning, and I will therefore close the public comment period and bring this back for deliberation. Gentlemen, no deliberation.
No, I'm not going to deliberate.
Okay. Well, in that case, I would be more than happy to entertain a motion.
Can I make this motion?
Yes, because you're here today. I think you're here today.
I just wanted to be sure.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution with findings approving the request for the amended conditions and the site plan.
And that would be all encompassing enough for us here? We don't have to reference the original CUP, do we?
Your recommendation is as presented by staff.
Great.
With no modifications.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. We had a motion from Commissioner Harris. We had a second from Commissioner Becker. I remembered to say that. And if there is no further deliberation, if there is no discussion, I would like to call the question. All those in favor of the motion as stated, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No abstentions. The motion passes 4-0. Thank you. Thank you all for coming in this morning, and we're happy to see you. We're happy to see your plans, and you've got another 15 years.
Aren't you going to give them time for a prayer meeting?
Thanks. The audience we've had, and they're all leaving.
Thank you. Thank you. And as soon as we have the room cleared and a little quiet restored, we'll continue.
Cookie.
Gotta have a cookie, too.
Okay.
Cookies make the world go round, don't they? Yes. And I tried to grab all those chocolate chips before they were gone. They're drifting out. In that case, I would like to now move on to Project B, a variance application number 2013-044, a proposed variance to sign sand roots, and I would like to welcome Eileen. It's wonderful to see you sitting there.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Good morning. Okay, this is variance application number 2013-044, Ron and Lorelei Stapp of the Miners Roadhouse. The project description is a variance to the sign standards. Currently, the standards allow 64 square feet of advertising per business if the signs are made of natural materials or modern materials that closely resemble the modern materials. The applicant is requesting an additional 37.69 square feet of signage along the east face of the building to advertise the business to motorists along the Highway 140 corridor. This is before and after, although you probably are seeing a banner that's up there now. That is a temporary banner. This is where they would like their signage to go. The applicant states that the current allowable square footage is not sufficient to cover both the interior of the complex and to through traffic along the Highway 140 corridor. Applicant already has two approved signs, which total 60.4 square feet. The APN, although we had it as just 013-240-003, actually encompasses two parcels, the parcel next to it as well, 004. This is the aerial. This is 49 here. As you can see, here's the entrance. As you come in, Miners Inn Motel here, Yosemite Bank here. You need to get all the way through this complex to get over to the Miners Roadhouse. This is 140, and this is the side that they would like to put another sign on. The property is in the general commercial zone. Minimum parcel size is 9,000 square feet. The parcels are 12,110 square feet and 35,589, respectively. It is located in the Mariposa Town Planning Area specific plan and the design review overlay. Section 17.336.060 limits the maximum signage in design review overlay to 64 square feet. On November 13, 2012, the Board of Supervisors passed and adopted Zoning Amendment 2012-126, which doubled the allowable signage for businesses 10,000 square feet and greater. Just as a point of reference, Miners Roadhouse is 7,100 square feet. The applicant is requesting that the Planning Commission approve a variance to the newly adopted sign ordinance requiring a minimum of 10,000 square feet. The applicant states that the business is at a disadvantage as it is located at the back of the Highway 49 entrance to the commercial complex, which makes visibility upon entering the complex difficult. This is a view from 49 coming into to the complex. Miners Inn Motel here, and Yosemite Bank here.
So that would be looking basically south from 49?
Correct. Another view here. As you can see, the restaurant's in the back. And as you get in to the complex, start going in, and the restaurant is back here. Additionally, the Highway 140 east-facing side of the bank building sits at the top of a bank above the line of sight to traveling motorists along the Highway 140 corridor. And as you can see, there's the bank and a couple of views of taking a look at that. And here you can tell from where the cars are, they're well below that line of sight. Now, what is a variance review? It's a relief valve from zoning. When the zoning ordinance would affect a certain property differently than other typical properties in a similar zone, such that the property owner is deprived of privileges enjoyed by other property owners, then a variance may be granted. A variance allows a property owner relief or not to comply with a zoning provision. Variances are not given out lightly. There are established rules for reviewing applications for variances. Rules are referred to as findings. And there are five findings which the Planning Commission must make in order to approve any application for a variance. Staff believes the findings for a variance can be made. The first finding is that there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances or conditions applicable to the property involved, or to the intended use of the conditions applicable to the property involved, or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to the property or class of use in the same zone or vicinity. The Miners Inn Restaurant and Motel was developed as a single complex with multiple buildings owned by the same owner. The businesses are now owned by separate owners who must advertise their businesses separately. Restaurant is located at the rear end of the highway, 49 entrance to the complex, which makes visibility difficult upon entering the complex. Plus, it sits up above the line of sight on the bank on the 140 side. The second finding is the granting of such a variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or injurious to the property or improvements in the zone or vicinity. At this point, no agency or citizen has expressed concern over the proposed additional signage for the project. Thirdly, the granting of such variance will not adversely affect the comprehensive general plan. General plan specifically addresses economic development and states that the long-range plan is for strengthening and diversifying the county's economy. The ability for a business to adequately advertise contributes to their ability to be successful. Therefore, the granting of the variance is consistent with the general plan. The fourth finding is that the granting of such a variance will not constitute a grant of special privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity under the identical zone. This business, again, sits at the back end of a developed complex and is difficult to see from Highway 49. Sits at the top of a bank above on the Highway 140 side. The additional signage is intended to identify the business to traveling motorists along the Highway 140 side. And the last finding, the granting of such a variance will not constitute a grant of special privilege inconsistent with the limitations upon other properties in the vicinity and zone in which such property is situated. Based on the project and site characteristics, the granting of this variance is not a grant of special privilege. The restaurant no longer enjoys the advantage of combined advertising with the motel, as the two businesses are under separate ownership. It sits at the rear of the complex. It's at the top of a bank to traveling motorists along the 140 corridor. The two approved signs are necessary to identify the business from the interior of the complex. Additional signage is needed for the Highway 140 side. And lastly, if other parcels have a similar circumstance, they could apply for a variance to determine if a deviation from the standards would be appropriate. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving variance number 2013-044 with the recommended findings and conditions. And based upon the finding that the project as proposed is categorically exempt under CEQA guidelines, staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt a notice of exemption. And that concludes my presentation.
Eileen, thank you so much, and very well prepared report. I had a couple of questions right off the bat. On staff report page 51, bottom of the page, I'll let you find it. Now that we're electronic up here, I think we can find things much quicker.
Which page?
Staff report page 51. It's a very, very minor thing, too. I did just a quick, in fact, you may be able to answer it.
I don't have it as 51. I didn't have that printed out that way.
But so you've just got the, okay. In that case, it probably would be the fourth page from the end of your report. And it is under agency comments?
Page 6 of 10.
Yes.
Oh, great. It's just a very, very minor question I had. Under the Caltrans section, near the end of that entire paragraph, it's on May 7th, 2013, I did contact Ken Parmley. Who is the I? Was that you?
Correct.
And there was no written documentation that he provided. It was simply a phone conversation.
Correct.
Or email.
Thank you. Yes. I was trying to clarify the requirement from Caltrans that they would need a permit from Caltrans, and it took a bit to try to find the information. And I did find out that unless it was an off-site sign, they would not be involved.
Great. My other question, and this one I'm not quite sure, because we're kind of feeling our way with the signage. And we have now two owners. We have the restaurant owned by the Steps. There still is that large sign up on the post, which, if I'm not mistaken, says Miners Inn, blah, blah, restaurant, too, down below. I don't know that we can make any demands of the current owner of the inn, but could it be construed that that is additional signage for the restaurant as well? Because simply, it does say restaurant up there. And I'm just curious to know if there's any way that that needs to be addressed.
Actually, under condition 4 and the approval, we are stating that they shall remove that. We do have a code stating that when a business has discontinued use, it must be removed within 90 days.
And so that
business is no longer, so we do have the ability to require the sign to come down.
And so that will be incumbent upon the owner of the motel?
Correct.
And?
Excuse me, of the restaurant. It actually is located on the restaurant property.
So that sign is?
Is on, yes, Miners Roadhouse property.
So then we will,
one of the conditions was to take that sign down.
So then we will potentially have some sort of a request from the owner of the Miners Inn for new signage, because that, I'm guessing.
I've already processed that. So they've already got their new signage. They haven't got them all up yet, though.
Great. I think that takes care of
that. I have talked with both of them, explaining that that would not be allowed. It's also over the height limitation,
right,
as well.
Very, very nice. Do we have any other questions? Commissioner Harder.
Mr. Chairman, isn't that in the sign-off check, this item 4?
It is.
It's the pole sign.
Right. I just wanted, because I wanted to be very, very clear about the jurisdictional requirements, because of the fact that that existing sign advertises two buildings, and we
exactly
want to make sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
I have another comment on when it talks about the approval shall expire on July 15th. Does that mean for the construction of the sign, or is that for this entire life of the sign?
The project itself.
Okay.
Will expire.
The physical erection and so forth. Is that?
Yeah. They need to get any permits that are necessary for the signs and erect the signs. If they are not able to do that within that three-year time period, then they would need to come back for approvals again.
Okay.
And that's a typical standard that comes with any project approval. And the reason there's an expiration period for approvals is that standards change, conditions change, requirements change. I don't think there's going to be any problem with them getting their signs up within the three-year time period.
Thank
I
you,
expect
sir.
They'll be up, you know, within a matter of days.
Commissioner Harris.
Could you explain to me that they were putting a sign on the 140 side of the building, and there's no sign on the 49 North entrance? What's the connection? What's the improvement to the business with the sign on 49 North? Or is there an issue with the 49 North entrance not being particularly signed? Is the sign on what? Let me straighten that out. So the sign on 140 helps people know that there's a restaurant up here. Go
exactly.
Find it.
Okay.
You have to backtrack. There'd be no additional signing at the entrance of 49 North. It's just it's somewhere up there. You have to go locate it. There's not going to be
at this point, if I remember correctly, they're using some sandwich boards at the entrance of 49 North. They are not by code allowed to put any of their own signage anywhere other than on their own property, which would mean at the entrance to 49 North, that would not be permitted. So at this point, that's the reason why when you enter there, they really need to be able to use their existing two signs to identify the building from the interior of the complex, which
okay.
left them one with the side toward 140 that they have an issue with.
Okay, but there's no sign that I recall.
Correct.
From 49 North that this is where you enter to get to the
correct.
Roadhouse.
Other than sandwich boards that I see put out every once in a while. That seems to be the extent of what they're able to advertise at this time.
And where do the sandwich boards go?
They're at the entrance to 49 North entrance to the complex.
Okay.
And that is also permitted by the code that was recently adopted.
Okay. Is there any possibility of an additional request for variance to sign 49 North entrance for the restaurant?
No, because of the location of the restaurant being, it's technically, if you look at the diagram that's shown,
yes,
the entrance is not on the Miners or the Roadhouse project parcel.
Right.
This is the entrance, and this is the two parcels.
We can't grant
off of there would be off-site.
We can't grant a variance to the prohibition of an off-site parcel.
Okay. I just want to make sure we weren't creating an opportunity for an additional variance for another sign, and that clears it up. Thanks.
Gentlemen, any further questions? In that case, thank you very, very much, Eileen. I would like to open it up for public comment. If anyone here has anything to tell us, please feel free to come up and do so. Or not.
Thank you.
Well, in that case, seeing no mad dash for the mic, I will close the public comment period and bring it back to this body for deliberation. Gentlemen, do you have any further deliberation? And it doesn't appear that we do. In that case, I would be more than happy to entertain a motion.
I would move that the Planning Commission approve the variance number, for the variance number 2013-044, and for the enlargement of their sign, and based upon the findings in Exhibit 1.
Would that work? Because on page 46, you'll see a pretty clear-cut presentation of what we could make for the resolution, if I can.
Would you like the motion restated?
That would be something I'll leave the discretion to you.
I can follow the staff recommendation, findings that we approve the project as exempt from environmental review, and approve this variance number 2013-044 with the recommendation, findings, and conditions.
That will work. Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Harder, a second by Commissioner Harris. Do we have any further discussion? None. In that case, I'll call the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? None. And that will do it. The motion passes 4-0. And I would like to also say I've been personally very pleased to see the property cleaned up and streamlined and brought into the 21st century, even though we want to preserve its 19th century, yeah, its 19th century charm and its reflection of our wonderful mining past. But congratulations. I visited the restaurant quite a few times, and at least I'm glad that I know how to get in. Take care. Thank you very, very much. At this point, White Ridge is going to move right along. I am going to move along next to our information. Let me scroll up here. Information items. For that, I will turn things over to Sarah. And before I do, commendations to Eileen. Very well done. Thank you so much. Very detailed and very knowledgeable report. Thank you. Sarah.
Okay, we have a few weeks before your next scheduled meeting, July 12th. This is going to be a month where you have meetings on the second and fourth Friday of the month. We did not schedule it for the first Friday, which is July 5th, because of its proximity to the July 4th holiday. So just make a note of that in your calendar. We will.
What was the date again? I'm sorry.
July 12th. So it's this month is a little bit different for you. We have at least one, and we're working on a second public hearing to schedule for you for that meeting. The one public hearing that we have for sure is a fairly significant public hearing that involves an amendment to the zoning ordinance for the rural residential zone to change text to add a conditional use to the rural residential zone. And then we're processing a conditional use permit for a project in the Lake Don Pedro area. It's actually a project on a, I think it's a almost 17-acre parcel, an arena for competitive horse events. And it'll be different. It's a kind of a first for a project like this in Mariposa County. So the actions that the Planning Commission will be taking will be, we'll make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, because the Commission does not have authority to actually approve the zoning or amend the zoning ordinance. But you will be making a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors for action on the amendment, and then action on the conditional use permit, which will be a discretionary permit. Whether or not that project is appropriate on that parcel, considering the site, the layout, and conditions that we might recommend be applicable to that. For Board of Supervisors actions, there are a couple I want to mention that occurred this week. First off, we have a fully staffed Ag Advisory Committee now. There's been a quite a long time now that there's been a vacancy on the Ag Advisory Committee, with Linda Meyer resigning. This week, the board appointed John Scheimer from Coulterville area to fill that position. He expressed his interest in that vacancy, in that appointment, and the board approved him to serve. And that's timely, since we have a meeting scheduled the end of this month. The other thing the board did this week, which I probably should send you information about, or I think I will send you information about if we're successful in the funding request, has to do with an application that our office submitted to the it's called the Sierra Nevada Partnership Program. It's a partnership that is between Sierra Business Council and PG&E. PG&E has some funding available, and Sierra Business Council is sort of the avenue where that funding is being routed through. But it's being made available to Sierra Foothill counties for greenhouse gas work. And there's two parts to the program. There's an emissions inventory, and then there's a planning program. And we applied just to the option one, the first part of that, which is to prepare a greenhouse gas inventory for Mariposa County. This is something that Mariposa County is going to have to do at some point in the future. We haven't been forced to do that yet, save and except in Cathy's Valley, where we were forced to do that prior to adoption of the Cathy's Valley Community Plan. But we will at some point be forced to do that based upon some future environmental document based on amendments that were made to CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, which mandate that we evaluate projects' impacts on greenhouse gases. And CEQA requires that we do a quantitative evaluation of a project's impacts on greenhouse gases. So we need to establish what our baseline emissions information is. And this application to the program will help us to do that, to establish our baseline for the county, if we're successful with a request for funding. So the application was submitted at the end of May, and the action the board took this last week was basically to support the application. I had to submit the application. I wasn't able to get to the board prior to the deadline for the application. There was a very short window of time that was offered to submit applications. So I'll keep you updated and let you know if we're successful. This will certainly affect actions and projects that are brought to the Planning Commission, because we bring you environmental determinations. So if we're successful, the work will be done during the third quarter of 2013 and the first quarter of 2014. So that's good. That was this past Tuesday. Next Tuesday, We have a LAFCO meeting. It's very minor. We're just going to be approving the final budget. LAFCO is not very active in Mariposa County. But the other item that's scheduled for Tuesday is the continued public hearing for the appeal that was submitted by Ken Baker. And I haven't been told yet that that needs to be pulled from the calendar. That was originally scheduled back in May, and it was pulled from the calendar by County Council for legal issues associated with some court actions that were occurring at Superior Court. If the commission is interested in looking at the staff report for that, we can send you a link to the staff report that's available online through the Board of Supervisors Minute Track program.
I would request that.
Would you like that?
Yeah,
I'll
no.
just have, I'll, we'll send you a link to that.
Thank you.
You can read the background information on that.
It's always fun reading, considering individuals involved.
Yeah. It's been quiet. I mean, it's been in the paper so many times because of our, even though the requirements for noticing, you know, were met, I think it's important just to let the public know what's on the agenda for public hearings. And so the notice has been very, very minor, but it's been very quiet. No public interest in that at all. So, or there hasn't been yet as far as letters or requests for copies of the staff report. All right, so for meetings that are coming up, for planning advisory committee meetings, we have an Ag Advisory Committee meeting scheduled for Thursday, June 27th. We have Al Pertel's meeting scheduled for July 9th. That's just a regularly scheduled meeting. We have Fish Camp meeting middle of July on July 20th. That's a Saturday meeting. Historic Sites is meeting Monday, July 8th. The last two meetings for Historic Sites have been canceled, but we will be having a meeting for Historic Sites on Monday, July 8th. And then Mid-Pines meeting is Tuesday, July 2nd. And those meetings are now starting at 6 o'clock. And that is it for my announcements.
Wonderful. Thank you. Just a question. Have you been in contact with your girls who have been beginning to summer up in my area, coming down?
Oh, yes. Everyone is fine.
Yeah, coming down this morning. I saw a few of them apparently around the front.
All are fine.
Yeah, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, and with that, if the gentlemen, you have any questions for Sarah about what's going on? In that case, wow, we're going to be wrapping this one up in near record time. I don't think we quite beat our last one, but we're coming close with this one. And so with that, I hereby adjourn this hearing.
We're still advertising for albums.